location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, the Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a pizza paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Hartley Carnes. 40 years is a long time to wait for the wheels of justice to get some traction.
I cry. I said I'm going to cry.
Thelma Collins, like Thomas Moore, are shocked and pleased that murder charges are finally being brought against a suspect in the murders of their brothers, Henry D. and Charlie Moore, said Thomas Moore.
Mississippi cold case of Kennedy saw. There can be justice.
Dee and Moore were murdered in 1964, Mississippi. An old KKK member now faces charges in that case.
71-year-old James Steele looked pale, old, and feeble. He was weighted down by chains draped around his waist, his hands, and feet. His wife and brother sat in the courtroom. They listened intently as the alleged former Klansman pleaded not guilty.
CBS's Donna Francavilla tells us bail hearing is Monday morning. Fewer women in America are getting mammograms these days, and that's not good. Dr. Clifford Huddis at Sloan Kettering says do the self-test, get the mammograms.
Mammograms have been associated with a decline in the risk of developing advanced breast cancer and a decline in the risk of dying of breast cancer. It's one of the most effective screening tests for cancer ever developed.
Ford announces losses in the past year of nearly $13 billion, but most of it, about $10 billion, due to steps taken to shrink the company. More than half the workers were bought out.
Really, really praying for the company. It's not good for the whole country if Ford doesn't make it. It's not good when a big corporation like that goes under. It's not good for anybody.
Beverly Sayer works for Ford in Dearborn. Ford has not and is not expected to go under. Just one of the tricks credit card companies use to push the price of their money up on consumers. CBS's Howard Arenstein on today's Capitol Hill hearing.
It's called universal default. A credit card company penalizes you for late payments to other accounts. Carter Frankie said her company doesn't do it.
A missed payment on a non-Chase card does not result in any automatic repricing of a Chase account.
But Travis Plunkett of the Consumer Federation of America told senators that consumers are easily fooled.
People don't shop around based on an assumption that they're going to make a payment a day late.
But when they do, higher rates and penalty fees can often kick in. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The family of the woman who drank herself to death with water is suing the Sacramento radio station that held the water drinking contest, claiming the DJs knew that too much water could be toxic and even made jokes about it on the air. Nina Hulst is Jennifer Strange's mother.
I would like to see them held accountable for their actions.
Those connected to the contest have already been fired, the family suing for wrongful death and big damages. Wall Street, the Dow lost 119 points today, the NASDAQ off 32 points. Oil prices, $54.23 a barrel, down $1.14. This is CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The Scooter Libby perjury trial puts more top-level administration insiders on the stand in the CIA blown cover case.
An inside look at the intense effort to discredit former Ambassador Joseph Wilson's allegations that pre-Iraq war intelligence had been manipulated. One-time Cheney press aide Kathy Martin says the vice president told her to use classified information to counter Wilson's claim that Saddam Hussein had never tried obtaining uranium from Africa. That was about a week before Wilson's wife, a CIA officer, was outed. Martin testified she personally had told both both Cheney and Libby, Valerie Plame Wilson worked at the CIA.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. This is what it sounded like, actually, when actress Nicole Kidman crashed in a Jaguar on the set of a movie today. She was in one of those camera-rigged cars being towed through Los Angeles, shooting a science fiction thriller, towed her and the Jag right into a light pole. She's okay, don't worry. Checked out at Cedars Sinai. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
How about a little health care for all? Great idea. President Truman thought it was a great idea. And we've been working on it for about 60 years now. Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Live from the Mayflower Hotel, we've got a radio row underway here at the Families USA Health Action 2007 National Grassroots Meeting. And radio people have congregated here, policy specialists, activists from all over the country. We heard Senator Barack Obama keynote the event this morning, followed by Republican Senator Gordon Smith of Oregon, who spoke at the lunchtime event. I'll give you some details on those speeches as the program progresses today. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Alan Rosenblatt will join us from the Internet Advocacy Center to talk about blogging, the Internet, and raising awareness about healthcare issues. Also, Ron Pollack, the executive director of Families USA, is scheduled to join us a little bit later, along with his colleague Kathleen Stahl, who is one of the top officials here at Families USA. We'll take a break from the healthcare issues to talk with our regular correspondent, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She's got a hot story with a timeline of the Bush administration's moves toward Iran. It's fascinating stuff. We'll share that with you. Then we're going to lighten up just a little bit because the Capitol Steps are in the House tonight performing their politically inspired cover tunes for this August national gathering. And Elena Newport, one of the founding members and a longtime friend of mine from Capitol Steps, will be stopping by. We'll favor you with a couple of their latest tunes. Then we're also going to talk about health privacy issues with Paul Feldman from the Health Privacy Network. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Washington, but your calls can always reach me here through the magic of our high-speed ISDN circuits. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as I mentioned, a lot of radio people are here to help spread the word about the Families USA Conference. And Dr. Mike Newcomb from KPHX in Phoenix and the CEO of Nova M Radio joins us. Hello, Mike.
Well, Peter, thank you for allowing me to hop along, the Freedom Express or something like that.
Well, you're a medical doctor, so you're probably the best qualified talk show host here to discuss these issues. You've been on the front lines.
Well, I guess it gives new meaning to the word, is there a doctor in the house? And I guess that would qualify for us here. But I have to tell you, I was going off to a meeting. Peter, you saw me kind of walking by, invited me to the table. Now, I have to go back upstairs because now I'm wearing these headphones and my neatly coiffed hair now will be quashed down, Peter, and I won't be able to look my best.
Well, I don't have that problem.
You don't have it.
And I also also don't have to worry about them confiscating my hair gel when I get on the plane.
There you have it. There you have it.
So. You must have checked that.
I did check that. But no, this is a great conference, Peter. There's no question about it. And, you know, you and I met last night. We had some dinner. We had a good conversation just talking about, you know, what's happening with our world and our nation. But one of the issues that clearly resonates, I think, with many people, Peter, and it because it's not a partisan issue. It's health care. I mean, it really shouldn't matter if somebody's a Democrat or a Republican or a green and independent conservative liberal. I mean, we're all human beings fundamentally. And I can tell you, when you cut open the human body and you look inside, Peter, you can't tell if something is a liberal heart or a Democratic liver or, well, I don't know about that. Well, maybe retract that part. But you get the point. We all look the same inside. So this really, I don't know why this has to be an issue that progressives and Democrats seem to be shepherding through the process. Hopefully, there will be bipartisan support on a go-forward basis, and we can, you know, find some common ground. And this is a great catalyst to make that happen.
I think one of the differences now as compared with 13 years ago when Hillary Rodham Clinton started to try to reform health care in this country and hit the buzzsaw of the insurance industry. And to be fair, her process and her 1,300-page proposal had serious problems. But it was on the radar. And
isn't it ironic how the patient Bill of Rights is usually much longer than our own Bill of Rights, which encompasses everything?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
So, you know, it's important to address these issues, but what I think has changed is that the cost of health care has hit employers in such a deep way that they are now looking for relief. And Dr. Mike, one of the things that I've talked about on many occasions is Ford Motor Company today reported fourth quarter loss of $12.7 billion. I'm expecting Detroit to send its emissaries to Washington sometime soon and look for a Chrysler-type bailout. Mm-hmm. And I want to offer them a bailout in the form of universal single-payer health care coverage, because we know that GM and Ford have to kick in about $3,000 or $4,000 per unit manufactured for their pension and health benefits. Mm-hmm. And in order to preserve those benefits, to preserve a manufacturing base in this country, the biggest bailout that we could give Detroit and every employer in the country is a national health care plan.
Well, there's no question about it, Peter, and you're correct in your analysis. The time is ripe for this. Back then, you know, perhaps the companies are doing quite well, didn't need help of anyone. But now that the costs are escalating, now that there's much more financial pressures on these corporations to provide the health care or lose, you know, the workers, they're in a quandary. So I think if ever there was a time to have some common ground, like you mentioned, and for us to help assist them in their business, but at the same time help people, then this is the ideal time to do it. So I would definitely agree with you. But it's interesting how you mentioned it. What did they lose? How many?
$12.7 billion.
Now, did they do a concurrent press release that the CEO got, you know, a $20 million bonus for that performance? Or they're waiting till later in the week for that?
He gets a free Explorer.
There you go.
with a special rollover bar. Mike, did you get involved in talk radio and progressive talk radio in part because of your experience as a medical doctor?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, as you know, Peter, back in 2002...
You ran for governor.
I ran for governor.
Yeah.
And I, honestly, I mean, I was at the time, I had no illusions that I was necessarily going to win the race, but I it was more of a protest candidacy than anything, Peter.
So you're the Kinky Friedman of Arizona?
I don't even know who Kinky Friedman is.
Oh, he ran for governor of
Texas.
But
I've been called Kinky before, but I don't know about Friedman. But in any case... No, I mean, I really did it as a protest. And you know, look, I come from a poor background. Mom and dad were union workers, railroad workers. So I don't come from a great financial background. But I really felt that the Democrats, honestly, Peter, because I am a Democrat, and I felt that they had sort of abandoned the cause of what used to make the Democrats, you know, a Democratic Party, a great party. I mean, you go back and you look at our history and you look at some of our great leaders with, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and, you know, all the great things that he accomplished. You know, that's kind of what I feel is, you know, what should be part of the Democratic values, but not even Democratic. I just think they're humanistic values. And I think since we do have a two-party system, our my party got away from those values. And I thought, look, if at least I can, if I can run for governor, go out there and be a catalyst for discussion and discourse and dialogue, then at least, you know, that would be an improvement upon things. And, you know, that dovetailed into ultimately getting a radio gig and getting into the media. And, and I'll tell you, what you do, what I do, it's very, very important, Peter. I mean, there's no question about it. People listen, people are passionate, and we're making a difference. I mean, I firmly believe that what we did as radio broadcasters had some type of impact in this last election. I really believe that. I think when you look at conservative talk radio, Peter, 40,000 hours a week, you see on a local and national aggregate level, 40,000 hours, and only 3,000 hours of progressive content.
That's 14 to 1.
Right, exactly. A huge ratio. So much for the liberal bias media. But that being said, even with the 3,000 hours that we had, look what happened this election cycle. Imagine if there was some parity now. Imagine if we had, rather than a 14 to 1 ratio, a 1 to 1 ratio. And I think that's why you're going to see a lot of pushback, particularly on the fairness doctrine, bringing back the fairness doctrine. Because I think these special interests and these powers that be saw how much could be done with the 14 to 1 ratio. Yeah. Imagine if it was 1 to 1.
Well, and especially, I mean, we know the message points that Rush and the gang will use to try to defeat any progressive approach, particularly if it's single-payer health care, because they're going to call it socialism. And we really need to have appropriate systems in place, number one, to keep progressives from drinking that Kool-Aid and make sure that they understand that, you know, having a national health care program is not the same as socialism. And also, we need to be blunt that the free market approach to delivering health care has failed.
There's
it
no
has
question
failed in terms of cost efficiency. It's failed in terms of just the basic right that American citizens should have to access to good health care at a reasonable cost.
Sure.
And one of the speakers today raised a point about the dignity of health care. He said, you know, he talked about growing up poor in America and that, you know, his family didn't have much money. But at the time, he had a sick brother, and every week a doctor came to their house to examine the brother. And he said it was the dignity of being extended, you know, the same rights to a healthy future that rich people have.
Sure, it should be a right. I mean, it should be a constitutional right. Look, all these conservatives, Peter, want to go out there and change the Constitution to ban gay marriage. You know, what we should do, every time they say that, we should come up and say, well, what about a constitutional amendment to guarantee health care access for all of our citizens, cradle to grave? How do you feel about that?
That's great.
You know, we need to just come right back at them when they talk from these extremes and just put it right back in their face with a progressive idea that resonates, you know, with everyone. And let me get back to that other point, because you're right. They like to use scare tactics, Peter. There's no question about it. Jeff Farias, my producer, you know, and I, we like to call them the bedwetting party. You know, they want to scare people into bedwetting and paralyze them with fear. But you brought up a point about the free market and private health plans versus, say, government-run health plans. I can tell you for sure, I've done this. I've been CEO of multiple healthcare companies. I've worked with Fortune 500 companies from a healthcare perspective on a national basis. There is no denying the fact that when you look at Medicare, the government-run system, Peter, it has an overhead cost of about 5% on every dollar, okay? You look at the private health insurances, the HMOs, the PPOs, et cetera, they, on average, have 15 to 20% overhead. And that overhead is skimmed off the top, and that goes directly into the pockets of the crony capitalists. It doesn't go to deliver the actual health care. So when these conservatives make these arguments that somehow or another the free market is the panacea to everything, it's simply a spurious argument. It really holds no validity.
They've had their turn, and the failure is evident.
There's no question about it. We simply need to
accurately describe it and make sure that it doesn't get spun and twisted by the other side.
And they're going to do it. You know that.
Dr. Mike, great to talk with you.
Likewise.
Thanks for stopping by, and it's great to have you here. I know our friends in Phoenix know you very well from the morning show on KPHX. And I want to just offer that up to our listeners in Monterey and Coos Bay, Oregon, and Eureka as well. Thanks for joining us.
And they know you, Peter, too. Peter's our afternoon drive, and we're very proud to have you as part of the NOVAM Radio Network. And who knows, maybe other things are lurking in the future.
We'll see. Thank you, Dr. Mike. Great to talk with you. We'll continue in just a moment, live from Washington, D.C., at the 2007 Health Action Conference, sponsored by Families USA. Your hair's looking great, Mike. It's all fluffed up and everything. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on the number one Sunday morning real estate show, Rock Roller Real Estate, Louis Basil and Ronnie Brehmer will be filling in for the vacationing Michael Yesk. Learn about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky real estate. That's this Sunday morning at 10, now celebrating its fifth year. Your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. Check us out on the web at rockrollerrealestate.com or tune in every Sunday morning at 10 right here to KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
From Washington, D.C., you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. We're at the Mayflower Hotel, just a few blocks from the White House in the center of the government theme park here inside the Beltway. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, you're welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm not on email right now, but if you want to drop me a note, I always appreciate your comments and tips. Peter at peterbcollins.com. Joining me now is Craig McLaughlin. He's Executive Director of Washington State's Board of Health. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, you're a fugitive from the Bay Area. You're one of those escapees.
Yes, yes. I'm one of those people that the folks in Washington are very wary of. You know, they say, there are enough of you up here. We don't need any more. But
and don't they blame you for the increase in housing costs in Washington State, all those...
You know, that used to be the case, and now there's a huge increase in housing costs that's no longer attributable to Californians speculating. It's actually population growth driving up the cost. So they've kind of forgotten about that, the old speculative stuff of California money pouring in.
Mm-hmm. Now, you came out of a journalism background. You worked at the Bay Guardian for the colorful and legendary Bruce Brugman. He's still going to overturn the Raker Act, I just know, in his lifetime. That, of course, is one of his passions about the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir and the favoritism shown to the Pacific Gas and Electric Utility Company over the years. How did you make the transition from being an editor into the healthcare field?
Well, I did. The very first article I did for pay was for the Bay Guardian, and it was on infant mortality and health disparities. So you're looking in Oakland, you're looking at, and I think this is still the case, much higher infant mortality rates. And so I covered a lot of politics, I covered a lot of environmental issues, I also covered a lot of healthcare issues.
Mm-hmm.
As a journalist, and then when I left the Bay Area, I was freelancing up in Olympia, Washington, and decided I really didn't like freelancing because it was kind of fun being an editor and having a little bit of control over things, and then it wasn't as much fun being a freelancer and having the editors have control over me. So I ended up going to work for the state in a mm-hmm. couple of different capacities and ended up being recruited into this position in public health, which I actually never thought I'd end up in. I spent a lot of time telling the folks that were trying to recruit me that I knew nothing about public health, when in fact I actually had knew quite a bit about public health for a variety of reasons, including some of the reporting I'd done when I was back in the Bay Area.
And you're here at this conference in part to give information about disparities in the delivery of health care. What are the key issues? I mean, most people know that income has a great deal to do with your access to health care and how much you use it.
Mm-hmm. Income has a lot to do with it. Education has a lot to do with health outcomes. If you look at how healthy people are, that's really the largest, what we use, the sort of rhetorical term we use in healthcare, is social determinants of health. If you look at education, if you look at income, if you look at these other factors, those are social determinants of health, and they affect the outcome. And so if you have populations that have lower education success or lower income, you're going to find health disparities. But the issue of health disparities is actually a lot more complicated than that. And it's not as simple as having access to care, being able to afford it. For example, there are populations that don't access care because when they have gone in to seek treatment for something, they feel like they've been mistreated because of race or ethnicity, and so there's a distrust factor. They're less likely to seek care. They may get screened later. For example, there's data to show that you get better health outcomes if you have a more diverse health professions workforce. It's just like, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, when women wanted to go to an OBGYN, there was a woman. They were sort of tired of being treated by men who didn't really understand some of their issues as well. And you find that being expressed in healthcare also. So there's questions of whether people have access to care. There are questions about when they do have access, whether they take advantage of that. When they take advantage of that, do they get the same quality care? And there's lots of data that people of color do not get the same quality care in several areas. They don't get the same screening. They may get very different pain treatment because of preconceptions about race and tolerance for pain, or whether people might misuse drugs. All sorts of factors end up contributing to the kind of disparities we see in health.
And you must use a complex approach to dealing with these complex issues. No simple answer.
There's no simple answer. I mean, there's some places where we've been able to see some changes. There are other ones that are very long-term. So what we've been asked to do at the State Board of Health is we've been asked to staff a new state body, the Governor's Interagency Council on Health Disparities, and it's going to take the next couple of years to really develop a statewide strategic action plan for doing that in Washington State. And you find many other states starting to do this, where it's so complex you need to be very strategic and you need to prioritize your efforts.
Mm-hmm. And just about 30 seconds remaining, but one of the issues I see is Washington State is huge, and the population east of the Cascades is very different from the coastal crew, is that right?
Right. It's very different. You have sections of the state that are largely African American. You have the urban core in King County, Pierce County, Seattle, and Tacoma, which are, I mean, large African American population. Sorry, a large chunk of the state is tribal land, so you've got Indian mm-hmm. population, and then you've got other areas where you have a very large Hispanic influx in the agricultural areas, such as the Yakima Valley. So you've got different issues, different cultures to deal with, different language problems, mm-hmm. different solutions.
Yeah. Well, Craig, thanks for stopping by. Great to learn about what you're doing in Washington State. Nice to meet an ex-Californian here.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Craig McLaughlin, he is Executive Director of the State Board of Health in Washington State. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C. More next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
The Philly Sunshine Show.
Philly Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. We're out in the middle of a foyer at the Mayflower Hotel, a historic hotel that was built about 800 years ago. And we're not too far from the White House. We're at the scene of Health Action 2007, a national grassroots meeting presented by Families USA. The focus is on health care. And joining us now is Alan Rosenblatt from the Internet Advocacy Center here in Washington. And we were chatting just before we went on. He spent some time in his youth way back in the Monterey area when his father was stationed at Fort Ord. So some of our listeners are in Monterey and the Santa Cruz area and relate to that quite a bit, Alan. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
So this Internet thing, how does it connect up with healthcare? I don't get it. You know, they offer me all kinds of drugs over the Internet, but that's about the only thing I see connected to healthcare.
Well, we do. You know, my focus is on using the Internet for issue advocacy and campaign advocacy and, you know, political advocacy. Mm-hmm. And we work with various different advocacy groups to influence public policy, mobilize grassroots, build communities, and so like other issue areas, mm-hmm. health advocacy is something we can help use the Internet to influence public policy.
Uh-huh. And so do you work as a consultant to, say, different groups that may be working on legislation in Illinois or, you know, a campaign in New Mexico, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do strategic consulting for anything from local to state to federal to international advocacy efforts and electoral politics. Mm-hmm. So.
And what are some of the tools? For example, for me, one of the most effective things on the web is Flash Animation that lets you deliver a political message in a cartoon form that you completely control.
Well, that, you know, Flash Animation can be really good in terms of, you know, getting that message out in a way that's fun, cute, easily passed on to everybody else. But the bottom line is that if you're only using it to get the message out, you're barely scratching the potential of the Internet. Mm-hmm. You can use those messages to drive people to tools to take action, like sending letters to policymakers or letters to the editor. You can use those information outreaches to drive people to communities that they can join to become part of a widespread network of people who are also interested in the same issue and share ideas, strategy, and actually launch and implement local campaigns, sometimes mm-hmm. with, sometimes without the organizations that's sponsoring the community.
Mm-hmm. And blogs? People are using blogs?
Blogs. I often call blogs the hammer of our age. You know, give a child a hammer and everything looks like a nail. And everybody thinks they need a blog. And the truth of the matter is it's a strategic question whether or not you need a blog, whether or not you should have your own blog. But the other side of the equation is there are a lot of really very prominent blogs. They have made a major stake in influencing and affecting the process of politics. We've seen a fair number of casualties. Trent Lott, who's resurged, Dan Rather, Conrad Burns, George Allen, mm-hmm. Who have been largely taken down by things, and then by what's going on in the blogs. And then there's issues and even companies that have gotten taken down that way. So I think it's really important that if you're running a campaign as an issue manager or as a candidate, that you have to kind of monitor what's going on in the blogs and mm-hmm. see what's happening and then make strategic decisions whether or not to engage, watch it fizzle,
right.
Watch your supporters come in and do it for you without mm-hmm. having to touch it, which is always the nicest way to
yeah.
get around it.
Well, I dropped in on a panel that you were on this morning here at the event, and it was interesting because the portion of the discussion I heard was a real-life situation, that one of the folks who was on the panel with you had posted something this morning at the Daily Kos, the information on the diaries page, that Barack Obama, the senator from Illinois, a presidential candidate, was going to be the keynote speaker here, and it was certainly well received. But at Daily Kos, apparently somebody put up what we would call a flaming response, a negative comment, and there was discussion in the room about what to do about this. And I appreciated the perspective that you offered. Tell us what you advised in terms of how to deal with critical comments, including some that could be rude or crude, that people put up at a blog site.
Well, I think in the bottom line, you really have to embrace free discourse, free speech, deliberation. And so anything you do to restrict that unless it's clearly stated, you know, you're not allowed to swear or personal attacks, and those things will be deleted, and there's an expectation for that. If you try to censor other types of communication, even if it's critical, there's a lot of backlash potential, and that can really hurt you. On the other hand, I think that if you look at the psychological research literature, engaging and allowing for contrary perspectives to be presented in your own context, if it's your own blog, for example, and allow the other side to be there, gives you more credibility because you're engaging in the debate and you're not censoring it, it's not one-sided. It also increases your persuasiveness because you allow both sides of the debate to be presented. And and then beyond that, I really think it's essential because if you allow it to happen on your website, you get to frame the context. You get to respond to it. You get to let your supporters come in and champion your position against this these attacks. Whereas if you don't present both sides, I've often said Google killed message control. And, you know, in issue management, campaigns, tight control of the message is an ancient strategy.
You bet.
And to be honest, the Internet really has undermined that tremendously. Aside from the social networking and you know, user-generated content where you can't control what people write and say, the other aspect of it is that if you don't give both sides of the argument, they'll look for it because they know it's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, your readers will know it's out there. They'll go to Google. They'll search for the other side. They'll find it. They'll go to that website. They'll read the other side. And all of a sudden, they're reading the other side as framed in the context of your opponent, mm-hmm. as opposed to as framed in your own context.
But, for example, there's no blog or chat room at the Peter B. Collins website because we just haven't gotten around to it. But using me as an example, if somebody got into my blog and said, Peter B. sucks, okay, that doesn't really advance the conversation, and my immediate reaction is, well, hey, I own this website. Why would I leave something up there that is, you know, uncomplimentary or critical of me?
Well, most likely somebody would post that on your – if somebody posted that on your blog, your fans – who are also on the blog, would chime right in and go, you're crazy.
Oh, I don't
great.
Have any of those
well,
fans. That's
you're assuming you're doing a good job. they would chime right in and say, you know, he's doing a great job. Look what he's done, you know. And you'd get third-party validation from your other supporters. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's there, it's even good that it's there because
right.
it actually shows how strong your support is among the rest of your audience.
Yeah. But a lot of people have that knee-jerk reaction initially. They say, this is my site, and I'm not going to have people, you know, dissing me.
Yeah, well, this is true, and within the context of advocacy groups and associations, it generally tends to be not the people managing the blog, but say the executive director or
right.
the board of directors that come in and see this, and they don't necessarily understand the reality of, you know, the free the wild and crazy Internet, and mm-hmm. and that this just happens, and that these are your audience.
If they want free speech, they can go start their own blog.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if they started their own blog and devoted it to telling everybody how bad your organization is, and that's the only thing they talk about on your blog, mm-hmm. that's going to hurt you a lot more than simply entertaining it and engaging it.
We're talking with Alan Rosenblatt from the Internet Advocacy Center here in Washington, D.C. So give us a couple of examples of what you see as exciting breakthroughs in the use of the Internet to create grassroots support and achieve political objectives, and if they're related to healthcare, fine, but if they're in other fields, that's fine too.
Well, you know, some organizations are starting to experiment going out into social network sites like MySpace and Facebook and the like. One of my favorite anecdotes in this regard is PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, mm-hmm. Created a MySpace page, myspace.com/PETA2, the number 2. And it's, you know, one person from PETA who's managing the site. So the page has a singular voice, an intimate voice. And they've built a network of friends, of thousands of friends. And typically, I think something 25,000 people visit it a month, and mm-hmm. you know, and going along very nicely. And they would use it to float focus, use it as a focus group to float their new campaigns, see how things happen. And then they ran a campaign against. There's a store called Wet Seal, sells young clothing for young women,
mm-hmm.
and they were selling farm-raised fur. And of course, PETA has issues with this, and they
right.
ran this very extensive campaign. Traffic to the PETA MySpace page surged to 350,000 people. I forget if whether it was a month or a week, but surged from 25,000 up to 350,000. These people were then driven to take action on some tools that PETA had on their website that they linked to. And the pressure was applied very strongly to Wet Seal, and the company basically said, call off your dogs, we will stop doing this, and they don't sell Farm Raised for Her anymore.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's...
That was a good use of phrase there, to call off your dogs, PETA.
Yes. Yeah. So there's some interesting things. Some of the other stuff that's going on, you can see increasing use of text messaging and mobile phones. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways of doing this, and there are a lot of new tools that integrate your mobile phone with your website. There's a social network website called Mozes.com, M-O-Z-E-S.
Okay.
And it basically, you create your profile page there, and you get a little short, code, your ID, and if anybody texts to the short code, which spells out Moses, and then types in the message of my nickname there, they automatically receive back on their phone a message from me that I've pre-programmed to go back out there. I can use it from my mobile phone to post up notes or bookmarks or things that I learn in the field that automatically go up to my site that anybody who's in my network can access. So there are increasing ways to integrate these mobile technologies with the internet, expanding the reach of the efforts. Imagine, this has been done, Bono and U2 gets up, takes everybody, take out your cell phone, text this number and donate money, and they raise, from a crowd of 60,000 people, they raise thousands of dollars like instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of very exciting things happening on the mobile front, and the integration between the internet and the mobile is, I think, really a very exciting frontier.
I'm excited by this, and it's just reminding me that I am moving in the Luddite direction, because I my thumbs just aren't fast enough to do the texting. I see people, half my age who have really facile thumbs and are able to pound out, a message almost as fast as I can touch type it.
Well, it's interesting, the Luddites only threw monkey wrenches in the machines that displaced them at work, not the machines that helped them in other aspects of their lives. They were very selective. So, Not necessarily, it's a self-serving thing to be a Luddite, and you fight against the things that displace yourself.
Yeah.
But you still embrace the rest of the technology, and I think there's a wide range of opportunity there.
Well, and I've been dying to get into Facebook mainly to see what my son has put up there.
Yeah, my sister spends a lot of time looking at my niece's MySpace page, and the big thing is, this is my boyfriend, I love him very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony, of course, is aside from the MySpace, and when they see each other at school and talk to each other on the phone, they have no relationship outside of that.
Oh, wow.
So it was when she was 12 years old.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, they have boyfriend, girlfriend, it's on the MySpace. Mm-hmm. But, you can see it. And it's good to monitor what your kids are putting up there. Definitely.
Alan Rosenblatt, you got a website you want to mention?
My company website is internetadvocacycenter.com, and there's lots of good information there. And then I write a blog. Actually, I write two blogs, one at drdigipol.com, and that's about internet politics, and another one at movingideas.org, which is a policy blog.
Okay. Any victories you want to take credit for in the recent elections or anything?
I'll take credit for the Democratic victory, but I don't deserve it.
Okay. Alan, great to meet you. Thanks for stopping by. Alan Rosenblatt, InternetAdvocacyCenter.com, if you want to check out their website. We're live in Washington, D.C. More coming up from the Families USA Health Action 2007 Conference. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Proclamation. Proclamation. Proclamation.
Live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, we're doing our best to rock the nation, get us on track for health care for every American. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're at the Health Action 2007 conference at the Mayflower Hotel, and this has been organized by Families USA. Joining me now is Kathleen Stahl. She is the Director of Health Policy for Families USA. Welcome.
Hello, hello. I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is an exciting conference, and it's not the first. How many years have you been doing this?
Oh, my gosh. We've been doing this conference for about 20 years, but this is the biggest one we've ever had. Our registration this year surpassed any year in the past.
Well, and it's very interesting timing because you could not have known that the president would want to distract the nation from his problems in Iraq by actually mentioning a domestic issue like health care that he's been ignoring studiously for so long.
Yeah, we did. We were not surprised that the president talked about health care, and we weren't surprised that he recycled the same old ideas that really won't help the problem of the uninsured.
Yeah, let's get
our
some tax cuts. That'll fix it. Tax cuts.
Exactly. Building on a tax code system that will benefit the rich provides little or really no help to low-income people. 50% of uninsured people don't pay taxes. A tax deduction isn't going to give them a lot of help.
Yeah.
And so you've got to really ask what he's thinking, that a tax deduction strategy is how he thinks he's going to help the uninsured.
Well, it's a worldview issue, and Paul Krugman identified it in a recent op-ed in the New York Times. I just happen to have it with me here. And what he described is that President Bush considers, you know, health insurance more like home ownership. He said that in his radio address last weekend. And Krugman quotes him as saying, the current tax code encourages home ownership by allowing you to deduct the interest on your mortgage from your taxes. We can reform the tax code so that it provides a similar incentive for you to buy health insurance. What's wrong with that model, Kathleen?
Well, again, what happens here is if you're in the higher tax bracket, so you make $200,000 a year, for example, then for every dollar you spend on health care premiums, you'll get 33 cents back. That still leaves a gap even for that family. But if you're below about $32,000, you'll get 15 cents on the dollar. And the real truth is that most people don't owe taxes who are uninsured. As a matter of fact, we've looked at the numbers. We did some crunching real quickly. Mm-hmm. And we estimate about 50% of the uninsured, the 47 million people mm-hmm. who are uninsured in this country, don't have any tax liability. A deduction means nothing to them. And a lot of those folks don't own homes, so the analogy has some interesting parallels.
Yeah, and some of those people who would not qualify for any real benefit from the deduction will be taxed on their employer-paid health benefits.
Right.
That was the sneaky part that, as Professor Reinhardt pointed out in his speech this morning, the president somehow forgot to include in the State of the Union message. Maybe Scooter Libby, if he'd been there, would have done that for him.
Well, he left out a couple details that are important. One, he's putting a cap on the exclusion from your income for employer-based coverage. So some people who have employer-based coverage now are going to pay more taxes. We could talk about whether that's a good policy or not, but if you do gain any savings from that in the tax code, it would be nice if we then used it for the purpose at hand. What I thought was really sneaky, though, is he talked about how he was going to give grants to the states to expand coverage. And the papers that I've been reading haven't talked too much about this, but we've been talking a lot here at our conference with our advocates. He's proposing to take money from public programs that serve low-income people, take money from public hospitals that serve low-income people, serve the uninsured, take money from Medicaid, and then tell the states, nah, 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 you want this money.
Yeah.
You're going to have to negotiate with us, and we might let you have some of it back.
It'd be a partly funded mandate instead of a totally unfunded mandate?
Well, I think it's a rob Peter to pay Paul proposition. The states aren't sure they'll get all the money back. They don't know what terms they'll get it back under, and they're not sure they'll get it back in a way that really helps the people the money is being taken from. So he's not putting new money on the table to expand coverage in the states. He is actually attacking the very programs that do a great job right now of serving low-income people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we ought to put a tax on Iraqi oil to pay for it.
Well, I don't think I'll go there with you, but it's an interesting concept.
Kathleen Stahl is with us from Families USA. She is their director of health policy, and we're live in Washington, D.C. Now, one of the things we're seeing is that because there's been very little meaningful movement at the federal level, individual states are taking on some innovative plans. Massachusetts has a plan in place. A Republican governor signed off on it, trying to ensure that every citizen in the state has health care. Governor Schwarzenegger in my state has confounded me, frankly, because he vetoed SB2 when he first, or actually helped to repeal it when he first came into office. Then he vetoed Sheila Kuehl's bill, which was a watered-down version of SB2. And then he had some sort of a catharsis after the November elections and recognized the serious problem in California. And to his credit, he's taking it on. Do you believe, number one, that we can solve some of these issues at the state level? Or is it inevitably going to require federal pools in order to make the whole thing work financially?
The states are doing some great innovative work, and it's been important because it sets a standard of bipartisanship that the U.S. Congress could learn from. In Massachusetts, there's some warts to the plan, but overall, we've supported it here at Families. But states can't do it alone. They're going to need help from the federal government, and I mean money. They're going to need money. This is about money. And the federal government right now has some opportunities to provide money to the states, but there's a risk right now that we lose some of the money flowing to the states. The governor in California has a proposal on the table that we're looking at. The details aren't there. There's some elements that we're concerned about. But certainly that sense of bipartisan support is really starting to provide momentum to those of us who are working at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not Schwarzenegger's biggest fan, but I'm pleased that he's put it on the table. It's not going to be passed in the form that he has proposed. He's already backpedaled from total coverage by eliminating undocumented residents of California. But it remains to be seen where it all goes. Let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Eureka this afternoon. Hi, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it goes without saying, from my observation, that if there is any extra money in a government our federal government, if it isn't totally bankrupt, they will find ways to shift that money to the very wealthiest of Americans, their own little Carlyle group. It's not going to go to help the poor.
It's interesting, Dave. The Princeton economist, Professor Reinhardt, today specifically talked about health savings accounts and how they mostly benefit people who have a lot of money.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you woke anybody up to the election issue yet?
Oh, I talked to everybody about it, Dave.
Bless you.
I do. Thanks for your call today. All righty. Kathleen, just about 30 seconds remaining. What is your most fervent wish? What do you think is the key next step to get us on a path to universal coverage?
Well, universal coverage is what we all want, but it's a big bite. The first stage is cover all kids in this country. We have 9 million uninsured kids. Right now, the U.S. Congress is looking at reauthorizing a key program that serves children, and we have a window of opportunity to expand coverage to all kids. That's the important next step.
Kathleen Stahl, thanks for joining us. She's Families USA Director of Health Policy. In Washington, I'm Peter B. It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ford posts a loss of nearly $13 billion.
In its 103-year history, America's oldest automaker has never had a worse year.
Congress is going after credit card companies. Have you read the fine print in your agreement? I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Ford Motor Company lost nearly $2,000 on every car and truck it sold last year. Part of the problem is that it sold 8% fewer vehicles than in 2005, but the biggest part is the cost of buyouts for tens of thousands of workers whose jobs are being eliminated in the company's massive restructuring. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
Ford is literally betting the company in its bid for a turnaround, borrowing $20 billion from banks and putting all of its U.S. assets, in effect the entire brand, up as collateral.
Nothing focuses your mind better than knowing that if you don't execute, the banks are going to own the business.
At the Detroit Auto Show this month, Ford's Mark Field said the company is at a crossroads.
You're telling me then that it's all on the line here, isn't it?
Well, essentially, you know, we have to make sure we deliver on the plans that we've laid out.
Even with its best efforts and luck, Ford doesn't expect to turn a profit till 2009. But Peter Brown of Automotive News thinks Ford is on the right road.
You're looking at a very focused organization now compared to a year ago when they were still kind of living in fantasy land.
General Motors says it expects to announce a fourth quarter profit, but it's withholding a report because of old accounting errors that might force GM to restate earnings back to 2002. Now this.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones or maybe just a rotation?
I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase 4 select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
What's in your wallet? A Senate panel heard a litany of complaints today about the high cost of credit cards. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Senate Banking Chairman Chris Dodd said too many credit card users are getting hit with interest rate hikes and added fees.
Consumers are consistently becoming confused and intimidated.
Among the witnesses, Elizabeth Warren of Harvard Law School.
Quite simply, the credit card market is broken.
She testified card agreements are growing longer and more complicated.
Sorting out safe cards and dangerous cards is almost impossible. Senators, I think it's clear card agreements are not designed to be understood.
Critics tell senators the industry is completely unregulated. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Bank executives defended their practices as fair and responsible. They say only a small proportion of cardholders are hit with high rates and penalties. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla was at the federal courthouse in Jackson, Mississippi, as 71-year-old James Seal was arraigned in connection with the killings of two black teenagers 43 years ago.
He was bound at the waist with chains around his hands and his feet, and he moved very slowly as he walked in and out of the courtroom. He was wearing a bright orange jail outfit and looked very pale. He was wearing glasses. He looked around the room looking for a familiar face. He didn't smile.
Seal, a reputed Ku Klux Klansman, was brought before U.S. Magistrate Linda Anderson, a black woman. He pleaded not guilty. Charles Moore and Henry D. were abducted, beaten, and tossed in the Mississippi River in 1964. The case was dormant for decades. Moore's brother Thomas worked hard for this day.
Mississippi cold case that can be solved. There can be justice, even 42 years later.
Released in October after 20 years in prison, Vietnam veteran Larry Fuller received a full pardon from Texas Governor Rick Perry today. He'd been convicted of rape, but DNA evidence proved his innocence. Eric Ferraro of the Innocence Project.
Barry's case shows that wrongful convictions can happen to all kinds of people all over the country, and that it's really important that we reform the criminal justice system so that we're apprehending the true perpetrators of crime instead of innocent people.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Hey, what's so funny, man? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past the hour. I'm live in Washington, D.C. at the Health Action 2007 conference put on by Families USA. Coming up later this hour, our regular weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing news editor at rawstory.com and a lively blogger. And Larissa has a great story that broke just a couple of days ago. She's put together a timeline which traces back to the early days of the Bush administration, the antipathy toward Iran, and a desire to do something militarily. We'll talk about that with Larissa. Now we're going to have some fun in the final segment of this hour. Elena Newport of the Capitol Steps is going to stop by just moments before she and the Steps take the stage here at the Mayflower Hotel. They're going to regale the gathering here with their cover songs with political spoof material, parodies in them. I've enjoyed their stuff, and I've foisted it on my radio listeners like you for years now. And Elena will stop by and will favor you with a couple of their latest, including one on the first, the future First Lady, if she has her way, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And we've also got a tune for the Libby trial, which is underway here at the District Courthouse in D.C. Joining me now is Rachel Klein. She is the Deputy Director of Health Policy for Families USA. And Ron Pollack, the Executive Director director, had intended to join us, but he apparently is detained in a question-and-answer period elsewhere in the hotel here and can't quite get away. But I'm glad he's willing to face his his folks and take care of that. Rachel, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Now, you work on, among other things, looking at the issues related to health care for children. And in the past few years, there has been, despite the general gridlock on health care issues, there has been some momentum to, as a first step, find resources to cover children. And most of these are state-based programs. Am I correct? Are there any federal programs related to health care for kids?
Well, you know, there are, actually. About 10 years ago, the federal government passed the State Children's Health Insurance Programs, and that's the program that funds a lot of what's been going on at the state level. So programs in California, like Healthy Families, are actually funded by the State Children's Health Insurance Program.
And the acronym, do you say CHIP, or is the S, do you say S-CHIP?
Well, we say CHIP.
Oh, the S is silent.
The S is silent.
Okay.
I hear it both ways.
There are a lot of wonks here who know much more than I do about health care, and occasionally I could use a wonk interpreter. So it's just CHIP, but there is an S in front of it.
There is an S in front of it.
Okay. So what exactly does that federal law facilitate for state programs?
Essentially, what it does is it set aside $40 billion over the last 10 years to incent states to expand coverage for children and families that earn too much to qualify for the Medicaid program, Medi-Cal in California,
mm-hmm.
But not enough to purchase private health insurance on their own. There were about a little over 10 million uninsured kids when this was passed 10 years ago. And so states took that money, and they have expanded coverage programs like Healthy Families and others around the country, generally speaking, to kids up to twice the federal poverty level, 200% of the federal poverty level. But some states have gone higher, as California has. Some states haven't quite gotten to 200.
Mm-hmm. And what are the gains? What have we achieved? How many more kids are covered today than were 10 years ago?
You know, it's interesting. There are about 10 to 12 million kids who have coverage today who didn't have it 10 years ago. About half of them have coverage in these state children's health insurance programs, and about half of them have gotten coverage in Medicaid, because there were a lot of kids out there who were already eligible for Medicaid, but their families didn't know that. And so when the state children's health insurance program came along, all of a sudden there was a lot of advertising, outreach we call it, trying to inform families that there was health care out there for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they applied, they found out they're eligible for Medicaid sometimes, other times for the CHIP program.
Now, Rachel, I'm most familiar with California, where Rob Reiner passed a ballot measure about 1998 or 99 that put a 50-cent a pack tax on cigarettes. So cigarette tax money is funneled into a state agency called First Five, and a portion of that has been diverted to the Healthy Families program, and some of it is determined on a county-by-county basis. My question is, what happens after you lose eligibility? Because in California, it's aimed at children from birth to age 5. So you become 6, and is this a new donut hole? A gap in coverage? How do you maintain the continuity as people, you know, grow out of the age parameters?
Yeah, well, there are different programs. Different states have different programs, and there are some sort of age steps that are sort of holdovers from the old Medicaid program, where there's different eligibility levels for kids at different ages. And so you could be eligible for Medicaid and families up to 100 in California, for example, 185% of the federal poverty level. I hate throwing around these percents of poverty because they really don't mean much to people.
Can you convert it to an income level?
For a family of 3 right now, the federal poverty level is something around, if I'm correct, about $18,000 a year. So twice the federal poverty level, you're looking at about $36,000-$37,000 for a family of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So in California, you could be eligible if you're under age 1 up to 185% of the federal poverty level for Medi-Cal, but then you turn 1 and if you're in a family that's, say, at 150% of the federal poverty level, you wouldn't be eligible for Medi-Cal anymore. You'd go over into the Healthy Families program.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some of this in different states, and it is confusing for families. One of the things we've been encouraging states to do is to even out those stair steps and make sure that kids ages 0 to 18 are eligible for one program as long as their family has the same income level,
mm-hmm.
and you don't end up with siblings in different programs. That's something that's been very confusing and something that we hope states will fix in the future.
All right. We're We're talking with Rachel Klein. She's the Deputy Director of Health Policy for Families USA. And what are some of the exciting things that you see on the horizon, particularly for expanding health care insurance and coverage access for children?
Well, you know, one of the most exciting things is that this year, as I said, the CHIP program was established 10 years ago, and there was funding for 10 years. And so this year, the program needs to be reauthorized by Congress. And our hope is, especially with a brand new Congress that seems to be very excited about expanding coverage for kids, that this will be a great opportunity for us to go out and make sure that the other, well, at least the 6 million kids who are out there who are uninsured but already eligible for these programs will get enrolled, that Congress will put more money into these programs to make sure states can cover those kids. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can even go further. There are about 3 million more kids who are uninsured but aren't eligible. Maybe we can do something for them, too.
And, Rachel, as you look back at the last 10 years, we know you described some of the statistical gains. But are there any healthcare gains? Have we seen sharp reductions in certain illnesses, conditions, or, the youthful things that people grow out of?
Well, I'm not sure we could say we've seen reductions in illnesses or, you know, injuries that kids have happen on the playground. But what we have seen is that kids who have health coverage through CHIP and Medicaid get care for their conditions, and they have access. They have a medical home, which is a fancy way to say they've got their own doctor. They've got a place that they can go to get their immunizations, their checkups. They generally can get care when they get sick. Some states have been able to show that their kids do better in school, that they are able to, they have less days missed because they're sick. Their parents have fewer days missed in the workforce because they're home with a sick kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some really important things we've been able to show because kids have access to health care. It's a very important thing for them.
Yeah. Well, it is an exciting time because really for the first time since the early Clinton administration, I have a sense that there is building consensus. And part of it, as I discussed a little earlier with a guest, is that business has really reached the max that they're willing to accept in terms of these escalating costs. And they are looking for innovative ways to change that without losing the productivity of their workforce. And that, I think, has changed the tenor. Do you feel that? Do you get that in some of your political and advocacy activities?
I think that's absolutely right. And what, you know, the Children's Health Insurance Program has broad bipartisan support in Congress. We have heard from different interest groups all over town their support for expanding coverage for kids. It makes sense. It's cost effective. It's a good investment in our future. And I think people from every spectrum know that.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, thanks a lot for talking with us, and thanks for the work you do.
Thank you.
Rachel Klein, she is the Deputy Director of Health Policy for Families USA. We're going to continue live from Washington, D.C. I want to open up the phone line, see what's on your mind in the next segment. Give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Some interesting new developments in the Libby trial here in Washington. I'll also recap for you the keynote speech from Senator Barack Obama here at the health conference in Washington that occurred this morning. That's all straight ahead. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Just arrived. Carmel, a treasure. A first combination calendar history book with souvenir maps, archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan, this brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. For more information, call Lisa Bryan at 626-5435. 626-5435.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. Speaking of our Carmel, no delays reported on the truck route heading into Carmel along Carpenter and heading out toward Junipero and Ocean. We do have problems in Marina, northbound on Highway 1 just before 12th Street, an object on the roadway. That is reportedly a large piece of wood in the right lane, and that's slowing traffic just a bit. Be forewarned that in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1, the Ameline Avenue off-ramp closed for a long-term road work, and that is through the rest of the year, pretty much. There is a good alternate. In fact, the suggested one is just simply taking Branca Forte Avenue and getting it down that way. And that is a look at traffic on KRXA 540. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm live in Washington, D.C., where we had a few snow flurries this afternoon. Otherwise, it's been clear, kind of cold, at least based on California standards. And we're here at the Families USA Health Action 2007 Conference. And coming up in about 10 minutes, Larissa Alexandrovna will join us for her weekly update. She's got a powerful piece at rawstory.com, we'll tell you, related to Iran, which is, of course, a story she's been focused on for many months now. And later this hour, Elena Newport from Capital Steps is going to stop by as they take the stage here later this hour at the Families USA gathering in Washington. I'm going to go to your calls in just a moment. If you'd like to join the chat, go ahead at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to tell you about a couple of interesting speeches here today from a Democratic senator who wants to be president and a Republican senator who's broken with his party over the war and over health care issues. First up, Barack Obama gave the keynote speech this morning. Quite a warm welcome for him here. And interestingly, when Ron Pollack introduced him, he mentioned a lot of things about Barack Obama, but not that he's running for president. He kind of teased the idea by saying that, Barack Obama is focused on the ultimate prize, and that is he wants the Chicago Bears to win the Super Bowl. Obama, this is the second time I've been able to see him speak live. I was about 25 feet away from him and watched him carefully during the speech. And he is using some of the same tactics, which I find interesting, but also give me some reservations about throwing unbridled support in his direction. Obama was more specific this speech about health care issues. But his approach was to identify the obvious problems that we have and talk about the questions raised by some of those problems. But the only thing he told us is two things, that he is developing his own health care proposal, working with a team of experts, and that he believes we can fix these problems by the end of the next president's first term. And kind of hinting that by the end of his first term, he would see to it that we have serious health care reform and universal access in this country. But Obama fell short of offering anything specific. As I left the room after his speech, I commented that he came out strongly against caution in a very cautious way. I contrast that with Gordon Smith, the senator from Oregon, who was a Republican Party loyalist almost on 90% of the issues until he broke with the president over the Iraq War in a very moving speech in December. Well, Smith was here today to accept an award because he's been working with Families USA, and he gave some very concrete positions to a progressive audience. He said, "I am pro-life." He said, "And I'm also pro-stem cell research. I can't understand why we would simply discard an embryo and say that that is higher purpose than using it to develop the knowledge of stem cell and really unlock the keys to disease and cures." And right away I said, wow, here's a guy I don't agree with on abortion rights, but he's able to separate abortion issues from stem cell, and the real hard right Neanderthals don't do that or won't do that. So high marks for Gordon Smith. He also said that he wants parity for mental health in terms of the coverage and access, and I support him on that. So it's a very interesting contrast between Senators Obama and Gordon Smith here at this event today. To your phone calls now, Xavier in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
I wanted to comment on to the last guest you had. I was hoping to ask her a question, but it's my opinion that we should get health care online for everybody at the same time. And one of my concerns that I wanted to ask her is she's really excited about getting health care for kids, but after that, my experience has been, you know, I'm a hardworking working class man, single, and I've hurt my back before and needed to get health care, and I get snotty comments from people. You got a strong back. You know, get out. It's like,
yeah.
My concern is that after we get to health care for the kids, you know, that I'm just a whiner. You know, a single man, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I would like to see us really tackle the problem. And Xavier, I'm more radical than many of the voices that I'm hearing at this conference. And I understand they're trying to work the long game and they're dealing with a very difficult political landscape. But as you know, I believe we have an abject failure in our commercial, our for-profit healthcare system. And we've got to eliminate the insurance companies. They soak up at least 25% of the money that goes through the healthcare system, and that's money that doesn't go to make you healthier or, you know, get you in to see a doctor.
Yeah.
And, you know, confronting that will be politically very challenging. And while I agree with you, I'd like to see it all fixed in one swell swoop, we can see that comprehensive approaches are very difficult to get through Washington, whether it's on immigration reform or health care issues.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that one of the things that I've noticed is that there's a large block of potential voters. And those are the angry, bitter men who, you know, for various reasons, and I'm probably one of them, except I am a liberal. But I realize that there's a lot of guys who are out there, they're just really annoyed at the system, and they listen to Rush Limbaugh. And
I actually heard from somebody who fits that profile yesterday. It was Kelly from Phoenix, who was saying he doesn't want to pay for somebody else's health care. But I believe we're all in this together.
We are,
and
as long as
we really can't leave it simply to the Darwin system.
Yeah.
Xavier, thanks for your call. Now to Gary in Santa Cruz. Hi, Gary. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Good to talk to you as usual.
Thank you.
Actually, this is my third time. First of all, I'm sorry I'm a latecomer, and I noticed that you guys are talking about the health care. And, boy, you're way ahead of me because I could not make any sense whatsoever about what he was talking about during the State of the Union.
Well, you're not alone there.
Well, I just was stunned. But the reason why I called is I listened to you and Randy Rhodes. There's some unusual balance between the two of you.
Okay.
But what seems to never get picked up in any of these conversations is these bases that are being built out there in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're complete with nightclubs and bowling alleys. There are theaters and...
Burger King.
Oh, well, it's amazing. And yet, you know, whenever we turn on the TV, we see these guys just traipsing around the rubble of Baghdad. But, and you would think that, that these guys are living out in tents out in the sand or something like that, but... The saddest part of all, and they talk about unity within the Iraqis in order to get it, you know, they have to stand up for us to stand down. And what they do is they hire out labor from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you're, I have two sons that are in Iraq right now.
Yeah.
And they tell me stories about how guys that are my, I'm 55, and they say how these guys stand in line for, you know, mm-hmm. 3-4 hours.
Gary, I'm up against a break, but thanks for your call, and I support you. We don't need permanent bases in Iraq. We need to ban that. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This week on the number one Sunday morning real estate show, Rock Roller Real Estate, Louis Basil and Ronnie Bramer will be filling in for the vacationing Michael Yask. Learn about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky real estate. That's this Sunday morning at 10, now celebrating its fifth year. Your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. Check us out on the web at rockrollerrealestate.com or tune in every Sunday morning at 10 right here to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
High noon on Capitol Hill. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The big showdown between Congress and the President, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, packing the most expertise of any committee on the Hill, marched onto Main Street with Senator Joe Biden in the lead, armed with a resolution telling the President that his troop surge in Iraq is against the national interest.
And again, this is not to embarrass him. This is not designed to say, Mr. President, aha, you're wrong.
Wait a minute. This is not designed to tell the president, who ordered the troop surge you don't like, that he's wrong.
This is designed to say, Mr. President, please don't go do this.
Oh, a resolution about a war that says, please don't go do this.
Well, this is more than please, if it passes.
Well, it did pass, 12-9 with one Republican vote. So I guess that makes it pretty please, with a Republican on top. Meantime, Dick Cheney was on CNN basically daring Congress to actually do something.
They have the right to cut off funding, but in terms of this effort, the president's made his decision.
And in London, Tony Blair was telling his critics the same thing, although the opposition's manners are a little different there.
It is actually deeply irresponsible, which is probably why it's the Liberal Democrat policy.
Well, if he feels that strongly, he should come and debate these issues.
Yeah. No, he isn't budging either. I don't get why tyrants are so scared of democracy. The U.S. and Britain are living proof. You can have democracy. You can have freedom of speech. No problem. There's absolutely nothing that says leaders have to listen. Now this.
Paula Sela is a real Geico customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater,
we thought it would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
With Geico, we had our check in 2 days.
Payback. This time, it's for real.
Geico. Real service, real savings.
This is...
One-Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One-Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One-Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One-Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One-Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. It's 33 minutes past the hour, and we're here at this exciting conference on healthcare, the Health Action 2007 conference. And next hour, we're going to resume our conversations. We're going to talk about health privacy and some issues related to trying to streamline our health delivery system. Also, in just a few minutes, Elena Newport of Capital Step. She's in the house! She's going to join us here just before she hops on stage to perform with the group and entertain this this group here in Washington tonight. Great to see you, Elena. She's always entertaining us with her tunes. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. First up, Larissa Alexandrovna in her weekly report here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining us. We have a little organized chaos here. I was going to pull up your story so that I could refer to it as we talk. And we had a series of computer problems, and there's a router issue. And somebody's loaned me a BlackBerry, and I'm trying to load the story right now.
Oh, no.
So I
well,
want
we
you...
could just talk in general terms.
Well, but I want you to describe for our listeners this powerful timeline that you and a colleague have assembled.
Muriel Kane.
Because it offers us real context on the Bush administration's attitude and designs toward Iran.
Right, and it really, it only starts in 2000, but it really is, it goes further back, and obviously that would be a book, not an article. What we know is that the plan to, not just Iran, but although Iran is the prime target, the plan to attack the Middle East has been in place before the Bush administration even came into office. It was part of, as we all know by now, the Project for the New American Century.
Mm-hmm.
It became U.S. policy. And in it, for example, it states, the United States has for decades sought to play a more permanent role in the Gulf, in Gulf regional security. That's the real famous one where they go on to talk about the need for a new Pearl Harbor. But then there's, you know, more to it where they discuss, we cannot allow North Korea, Iran, Iraq, or similar states to undermine American leadership. And you start to see that it isn't, what's going on now with the screaming about the enrichment of uranium has less to do with any real concern about the enrichment of uranium and more to do with this need, this sort of imperialistic kind of desire to expand the empire into the region and control that region.
Mm-hmm.
And so as that becomes plan, we then start to see a series of events that indicate that although there was all this talk about Iraq with all the mushroom cloud and smoking gun in the form of a mushroom cloud and all of this, you know, the Niger forgeries. The reality is that there was a lot of covert activity, almost a covert war going on with Iran already. As we were talking about Iraq, we were attacking Iran. And the reality is, even as there's information coming out before we invaded Iraq, for example, the satellite imagery showed that Iraq, in fact, did have a facility in the an enrichment facility, whereas Iraq had nothing, one would think that even this, you know, that this would give them their cause that they were looking for,
mm-hmm.
to attack Iran. Instead, after all this builds up, they attack Iraq. And what I think the other thing that becomes really clear is that they were going to somehow try to use Iraq and Iran against each other in this war of spin. They were going to try to implicate both. So they were sitting or trying to hold back a lot of this focus on the enrichment of uranium in the early years of the administration because they weren't ready yet to go after Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, another element that we see as we look at it in terms of a timeline. It becomes much more apparent that, for example, former Ambassador Joe Wilson goes to Niger and finds out that Saddam wasn't, attempting to buy anything,
right.
Whereas Iran had in the 90s attempted to purchase 400 tons of uranium. And
where was Iran trying to get uranium from?
From Niger.
From Niger. And,
right. Mm-hmm. But here's what's the fascinating part. You have Iran and 400 tons, and what do we hear? We hear Iraq and 500 tons. And I can't help but wonder if they didn't just say, we're going to go to Iran after, but this is a great way to get Iraq first.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened, but it certainly raises the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, and when I say covert, I don't mean just covert over in Iran. I mean covert domestically, where you have literally spies, foreign folks, pressuring members of Congress and, otherwise they're called lobbyists. But in this case, if you really look, they're not just lobbyists.
And speaking of lobbyists, I'm just a block up from K Street right now. I took a jog down there this morning and just kind of, tip my hat to Jack Abramoff and the gang, the visionaries.
Right. But you see here a really kind of bizarre relationship forming with an Israeli lobby, the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee,
mm-hmm.
and a defense analyst in the Pentagon, Larry Franklin, who's pled guilty to passing classified
right.
information. But, he's also one of the guys who travels abroad to meet with the Iranian arms dealer. So you see all this bizarre stuff going on. Nobody's paying any attention. And everything's focused on Iraq, where there's absolutely no evidence. And I don't know what their actual plan was, but there was absolutely and clearly, I think it can be now said, that there was always an intention, regardless of the reason, whether it was the new one where they're attacking our troops in Iraq. And I'm not saying they're not. There's some...
Mm-hmm.
Certainly some activity by them,
right.
but there's also activity by others. We're just singling them out.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's managing news editor at rawstory.com, and I direct you to that website where you can read the timeline for yourself. It's
and
very
the article that goes with it.
Very powerful work, I agree. And Larissa, this as a journalistic process is fascinating because with the 9/11 issues, with the war in Iraq, Mother Jones did a timeline on the war in Iraq. Various people have put together timelines on what actually happened on 9/11.
Right.
And they do produce, when you put that data down in sequence and side by side, it often reveals things. So I'm curious, as you went through this process, what surfaced for you that was either new or different?
Well, for me, what was new was what was really striking for me. And I've covered this entire buildup, if you want to, whatever we want to call it, for years. So for me, what was the most striking was that it looked like if they really wanted, if they could have avoided Iraq, they had every reason to, because they could have used, the findings by Joe Wilson and others, as well as the satellite imagery, to say, look, they're building a nuclear program, and they would have been more justified not having lied, because they were basing actual this on actual facts. Not that Iran is building a nuclear weapon necessarily, and it's really not at this point. But they would have been more justified because there was enrichment going on.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it looked to me like they took the stuff implicating Iran and twisted it to apply to Iraq.
Really? And that's not just dyslexia.
I mean, look, how do you come away with, Iran made an attempt to purchase 400 tons of uranium in the 90s to Iraq attempting to purchase 500, both from the same country. It's when one of them is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
They had to have gotten that statement from somewhere.
That's really fascinating,
They had nothing for Iraq, so they knew that they could let Iran keep going just a little longer, so that by the time it looked like they were done with building a case for Iraq, Iran would be they could use more aggressive intelligence,
mm-hmm.
that and manipulate it more against Iran. So that's what was the new thing for me, was that I saw them how they were holding back and manipulating certain things about Iran and applying it to Iraq.
Larissa, I have about 2 minutes remaining, and I wanted to ask you to comment on this. We got two very divergent views on this very program yesterday. Joseph Cirincione, who is a fellow at the Center for American Progress, watching these issues very carefully, shared the same concern that I've heard from you and Sam Gardner, and we've read from Seymour Hersh, about imminent American plans for military action against Iran as early as the third week in February. Then journalist Robert Dreyfus joined us, and he had a very different take, talking to military experts and others. And he concludes, and I did accuse him of rational thinking, he concludes that it's simply not possible for us to marshal any ground forces that we could, launch air assaults on Iran, but he sees it as simply impractical, that we're too constrained by our excessive deployment in Iraq. Where do you come down between those two points of view?
Well, I think that it's probably very difficult to pull off, given how thin stretched we are,
mm-hmm.
which would probably explain why we're arming the Gulf states, who are our allies.
That's right. He slipped that into the surge message that we're sending Patriot missiles to the neighbors.
Right. And I don't know if it's just Patriot missiles or
right.
if that also includes bunker busters of, let's say, with unconventional warheads. So there's that element. There's the element that Israel has nukes. Now, it's not practical that Israel could get more than maybe one shot in at this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they do, then the others and then us are supposed to simply just pound Iran, from head to toe. And possibly, as I said, let's not rule out the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
Because what else I hadn't known before, I reread the PNAC paper and then our policy more closely, is that they really believe we should be looking at unconventional warfare and seeing if we could apply it, in more limited fallout type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I agree with, I believe we are going to do this based
mm-hmm.
on just what I've seen, I also agree with Dreyfus in that these guys are, it's going to, unless they go really far in terms of what types of weaponry they're going to use, it's difficult for them to pull off. But hey, this administration has never been, one to be reasonable or
right.
strategic. So
yeah.
That's
well, Larissa, I need to wrap up for now, but this is fascinating. I appreciate the work you're doing on one of the most critical stories out there. Rawstory.com is the site. Larissa also publishes at atlargely.com. That's her blog. And I'm on vacation next week, Larissa, but I will talk to you 2 weeks from today.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Rawstory.com, the place to get the timeline and the related story. Coming up next in our live broadcast from Washington, Elena Newport from the Capitol Steps joins us just before she goes on stage here to entertain the Families USA Conference. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. We're going to go out first to a couple of locations, and let's go on out to some slow and go on the Fishhook, as you might expect, from southbound Highway 17 over to southbound Highway 1. That is jammed, as it usually is. We still have that large piece of wood on the roadway, northbound Highway 1, just before 12th Street. It is blocking the right lane with about a quarter mile back up behind it. And that word brought to you by Welch's Purple Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice. Now, it's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Frank Sullivan, and I'm with traffic on KRXA 540.
Johnny Guitar Watson opens up this segment of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Washington, D.C., and one of the co-founders of one of my favorite political satire groups is here right across the table from me, the beautiful blonde Elena Newport. Hello!
You don't have other favorite
political... Oh, wait a minute. I didn't turn your microphone
on. You didn't turn me on. Oh, wait a minute. That came out all wrong.
Now we can hear you.
You have other political favorite satire groups?
You know, there's a really cool guy you got to check out named Roy Zimmerman.
Okay.
He was a member of a group called the Foremen in the 90s.
I knew that. I've seen the Foremen.
Do the Clinton was one of their songs.
I actually have one of their albums.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So well, what happened to them?
You know.
Yoko. Old age, I don't
know. They blame
know.
Yoko, I think. But they broke up, and he's solo now, and he has a killer CD out. In fact,
really?
I'll send you a copy.
Thank you.
Because you send me every new release from the Capitol Steps, and I am grateful.
You are willing to lower your standards and put us on the air, so we're...
Now, let's set people up for the Capitol Steps experience. There's at least one American who isn't aware of you, has never seen you live.
Uh-huh.
And this is
and he's listening right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is a troupe that is formed by all former members of staffs at Capitol Hill, right?
Well, we started in 1981 as a Senate office Christmas party. And it was, we were just intending to do this one time. And we thought we'd probably get fired for doing it.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I've told you this before. We were going to put on a traditional nativity play. But we worked in the Senate. We couldn't find three wise men or a virgin. So instead, we wrote some silly songs. We did them. We were making fun of them. Our bosses, Ronald Reagan, everybody who was in at the time, and nobody stopped us.
Uh-huh.
And now 25 years later, we're still at it.
Wow. And is this a profit center? I mean, you actually make a living doing this?
This is actually jobs for about 40 people.
40?
With our tech staff and our office staff, and yeah.
You haven't offshored anything?
That's right, the Mexican version of the Capitol Steps.
Now, if I go to capsteps.com, I can buy your CDs there.
I hope you go there all the time.
Yeah.
You must, right?
And is there a fulfillment center in Bangalore that will dispatch them immediately?
Operators are standing by. Yeah, capitalsteps.com or capsteps.com. They both get you there.
All right, now set us up. The big announcement occurred last weekend. Hillary Rodham Clinton has thrown her bonnet into the ring. John Kerry has pulled his hat out of the ring.
Man.
I mean, it's a constantly shifting.
You know, as a satirist, you're happy about one and sad about the other. We love John Kerry. His name rhymed with everything. but Hillary, we've been expecting all along. So we've had a song about Hillary, and I think you actually have it. You can play it.
Yeah, let's hear it. Matt, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome best-selling author Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know from the success of my new book, there's been tremendous speculation about whether I'll consider a run for the presidency. And as you also may know, there's one eensy-weensy problem.
Yeah, honey, I wouldn't say it was eensy.
And now, my time is here for Bill's career. I was the right spouse. My friends, one thing is clear. If I should hope to win the White House, my past is not my own. All hopes were blown in such a guy way. Still, it's not fair if I declare he'll be in my way.
Thank you, Hillary. That's the Capitol Steps. And that CD is entitled...
Gosh, I think that might be from Four More Years in the Bush Leagues, but we have 26 CDs, so I'm trying to remember which one that's on.
Well, I got to tell you, your Christmas 2006 CD was a killer.
Oh,
you got
fun.
A lot of airplay on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
I'm sure you saw a surge of orders from the West Coast.
We filled both of them. We did.
And you've got to give my best to Bill Strauss.
Okay.
Because, you know, the way I found out about Capitol Steps was through his mom. Susie is a well-known publicist in San Francisco.
Yes.
She called me up and she said, my boy's in a group and you got to have him on your show.
And you're like, okay, well, a mother will say that, right?
And then he impressed me with the books he's written about generations with Neil Howe.
Right, right.
Very, very impressive stuff.
Right.
And he predicted all the dreck that's occurred in the last 5 years.
He might even be responsible for it.
I wish I'd paid closer attention. I would have managed my portfolio differently and bought some Halliburton.
Oh, that's...
I had Enron instead of Halliburton, Elaine. I just didn't pull it off. Well, listen, you're going to get the hook here to go perform on stage in just a second. But set us up for one more, because Scooter is in the dock.
Right. The trial started. They're trying to find a jury that hasn't heard of Dick Cheney or something.
They did find a jury, and one of them is a former reporter for the Washington Post.
Really?
And with all the media people appearing there, that's going to be very interesting.
Okay, well, we have a song about it, and we've actually had it ever since he was first indicted.
Yeah, well, let's roll it. This is So Indicted. Elena Newport from Capitol Steps, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Go break a leg or something.
Appreciate it.
All right.
My fellow Americans, it's time for me to have an important conversation with my most trusted advisor. He's my friend. He's my conscience. He explains things to me when I don't understand them. And let's face it, that's a not small portion of the time. He's the one that taught me that FEMA is not a bone in the human leg. He explained to me that an HMO is not someone who's attracted to men. Mm-hmm. Y'all probably know him as Shooter. He's my Vice President, Dick Cheney.
Good to see you. How are you? Nice to see you. What's happening? Pleasure to see you. Mr. President, how is everything?
How's it going there, Dicko?
Well, Mr. President, I just would hope that you and all the other American people would understand that this is the first time that I've ever shot a man accidentally. Surely you understand that, Mr. President. I'd also like to say, I don't know why I'm getting all this grief. I went to visit the man I shot in the hospital.
You shot a man in the hospital, too?
Get on.
Okay. We're going to be joined by former administration aide, Scooter Libby. Or as we call him, Scooby Libby.
Get to it, Scooter. We're running short of time here.
Of course. Many people are questioning the people that I keep losing in my administration.
And don't worry about things, Scooter. We're going to get you reinstated. We'll even get you back pay.
Thanks, Mr. Cheney.
Yeah, we'll get you a pardon, too.
We'll even pay you radioactively.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. That's from the Capitol Steps. I'm So Indicted. And go to their website, capsteps.com. You can hear it yourself. I'm Peter B.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement special.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. All three U.S. automakers are struggling, but Ford clearly is in the deepest hole. The company reports a $12.7 billion loss for 2006 due to slumping sales and the cost of buyouts for tens of thousands of workers.
Those jobs are gone, and when this company is turned around, the new jobs won't be what the old jobs were.
Industry analyst John Cassessa in Detroit. WWJ Radio's Ron Dewey talked to some who were still on the job.
The huge financial loss at Ford has at least one worker at a loss for words.
I don't know what to say about it. It's just the story just keeps getting worse and worse every few months.
Which has other workers asking, what's next?
It's going to hurt the economy. Really? Because I got a feeling they're going to close more than the plants that they said they was going to close.
I'm just going to hold on and, you know, pray that they make the right choices.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
An aging white man was brought before a black judge in Jackson, Mississippi today to face charges stemming from the racially motivated killings of two black teenagers back in 1964. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla was there.
James Seal pleaded not guilty to three counts
of conspiracy to commit kidnapping with death resulting. He was too old, too feeble, too sick to even stand while those counts are being read against him. He had to sit down, his trial attorney saying that he is sick and needs medication or needs special attention.
The defense says Seal has cancer. Reportedly, a second man suspected in the crime is cooperating with authorities, which would explain why he hasn't been charged. In Buffalo, New York, the man convicted in the fatal abortion, in the fatal shooting of abortion doctor Barnett Slepian was found guilty on federal charges today. WBEN Radio's Barbara Burns covered the trial of James Kopp, who acted as his own attorney.
He maintained all along for many years now that he never meant to kill Dr. Slepian, that he absolutely just wanted to wound him. He was shooting for his arm. He never meant to kill him. But the prosecution, their main contention in this trial was if, in fact, James Kopp just wanted to injure Dr. Slepian, then why did he choose an AK-47?
Kopp is already serving a 25-year life state sentence. This conviction could mean a federal sentence of life without parole. California Congressman Duncan Hunter, a conservative Republican who wants tougher measures against illegal immigration, formally launched his presidential campaign today in South Carolina.
A lot of folks here care about a strong national defense. They care about border security, which is important to me. I built that fence in San Diego, and we're going to extend it east across Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And I also want to bring back some of those high-paying jobs that bad trade policies have sent overseas.
Hunter said nobody wins the presidency without winning South Carolina. Bad day in the market. The Dow Industrial's down 119 points to 12,502. The NASDAQ off 32 points today. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mom. While you're at the office, your teenager has 1,000 strangers in her bedroom.
I have 3,000 friends.
She snorts really good weed. This curl is so high.
That's what it's like when your kid's on the internet, and some people talk about drugs.
Got me a dime bag.
I found my mom's pills.
I'm annihilated.
So maybe send an instant message, because even with 1,000 people in the room, one more could make a difference.
Hi, it's Mom. Less chatting, more homework.
Gotta go.
See ya.
Becky, you said hi.
Checking in. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
Just say, whoa. That's the essence of a new safety campaign aimed at teenagers in cars. CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports.
Teens are more likely to speed, run red lights, make illegal turns, and die in SUV rollover accidents. There's also evidence teenagers will follow advice of peers before parents. So the Ad Council's Peggy Conlon says a new ad campaign will talk to the teen passengers.
If passengers are in the car with friends and don't feel safe, we want them to say something to the driver.
The ads go like this.
In the real world, there is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up.
Whoa, Andy, slow down.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
At St. Rose of Lima School in Warwick, Rhode Island, students not only have to be quiet in class and in the library, now they have to be quiet in the cafeteria. School officials say they don't expect absolute silence, but kids have to be quiet enough so if anyone's in trouble, they'll be heard. The rule was imposed after 3 recent choking incidents. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones, or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase 4 select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
And And the Peter B. Collins Show continues live from Washington, D.C. It's 6 minutes past the hour. We are here at the Families USA 2007 Healthcare Conference. And we had a guest scheduled to appear, but these events are kind of organized chaos or chaotic organized, you know what I mean. And if Paul Feldman arrives, we will talk to him about the privacy issues related to your healthcare records, because many types of healthcare reform are based on the idea of reducing paperwork and the role of insurance companies, and that creates a separate set of issues related to the privacy of your medical records. So if he's available and stops by, we'll talk with him, but he may have slid into the ballroom here to catch the Capitol steps, who will be hitting the stage any second now. You'll probably hear the noise in the background. So we're going to do what we usually do in the third hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We open up the phone lines for the free speech zone. And if you want to talk about health care, first and foremost, you're welcome to do so. But you may want to talk about the Libby trial, may want to talk about the president's State of the Union message, some of the issues that are still being churned. The Senate yesterday rejected the increase in the minimum wage, jockeying, Republicans are jockeying to get some tax cuts in there, tax breaks for small businesses. And depending on the terms of those tax breaks, I still might be able to support the measure as amended. Also, of course, the vote yesterday in the Senate committee chaired by Joe Biden with the Biden-Levin Chuck Hagel resolution on the war in Iraq. It passed out of committee with just one Republican vote, and that's the vote of Chuck Hagel. And he does seem to be shaping up as the principled Republican who is going to be the pivotal force here in getting the message through to the President of the United States that his policies are untenable. So there are a lot of dynamics to work with. Lines are open for you. You know the number, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'll repeat that, 888-5-PETER-B. And I just got reconnected to the Internet here so I can see my instant messenger screen. And in my email was a headline from truthout.org about a story that's just been posted under the byline of our able producer, Matt Renner. Matt joins us now from our studio in the Bay Area, and the piece is entitled Perfect Storm for the Peace Movement. Matt, first of all, congratulations on another published story, and give us a sense of what's coming up this Saturday here in Washington, D.C.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the plug, and if everyone wants to check it out, there's a really cool video done by one of our previous guests also on the show. I don't know why I just blanked on his name. I'll figure that out in a second.
Is it Jeff Millard?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Millard was in charge of the video that's above the story there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that speaking to Judith LeBlanc, who's the co-chair for the United for Peace and Justice Coalition, was one of the most inspiring things I've done in a while. She's quite an eloquent speaker. I see why they give her to reporters to talk to. Saturday is going to be a big event. It should, I mean, they're predicting 100,000 plus. I'm somewhat skeptical just because of the turnout in the past, but I hope they're right.
Me too. And I'm skeptical a little bit too, only because we have seen not enough activism on the part of progressive Americans or even non-progressive Americans who are concerned about this war.
It's true, and I you know, I'm curious as to why. Oh, good, we have a nice little chorus in the background.
That's the Capitol steps. They're performing live.
Well, I just appreciate the way that she presented this also, because the title of my piece is called A Perfect Storm for the Peace Movement, which is basically exactly what she described to me. I mean, the way this is all heating up as we move into the 2008 election cycle rather quickly, it's going to be quite a big moment, I think, for the peace movement, and this is a good chance to really get it ramped up. I mean, if you look back at the history of it, the Vietnam War protests started pretty small and gradually got bigger as more people started paying attention, as the political pressure and the different pressures applied from different parts of the government became more strong and got more media attention.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday is going to be this march where people will rally and listen to. I listed some of the speakers. There's an extensive list, including Medea Benjamin, who's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Maxine Waters, Lynn Woolsey, Dennis Kucinich will be there. Reverend Jesse Jackson, and then the Hollywood elite liberal.
Dangerous lefties.
Exactly.
The treasonous lefties who Ann Coulter would love to, lock up at Gitmo.
Danny Glover, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Robbins, always great voices on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to be security for Danny Glover one day at a protest in San Francisco. That was fun.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, he's a cool guy. I've met him a couple of times.
He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to speak, and then they're going to march around the Capitol and basically make sure that Congress hears them, that they want the funding for this war cut off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to withdraw troops in 6 months, and the funding's there for it. So they're basically embracing the legislation of the Progressive Caucus, Woolsey and Barbara Lee, who Maxine Waters, who have put forward a resolution to bring all the troops home in 6 months.
Right. A couple of things I'll add from this end. Tomorrow night on our broadcast, we will be featuring some of the people who are participating in the march and demonstration. And among them, Congresswoman Barbara Lee. She'll be joining us from California. I don't want to mislead people that she'll be on the mall. And we're also going to speak with Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who is the courageous soldier, one of the highest-ranking individuals who has refused to return to Iraq because he thinks this is an immoral war. And he is in the process of a court-martial over his stand. I fully support him, and this will be our first opportunity to speak with him, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Another truly inspiring individual, Aaron, is one of those guys that seems to really embody what we've heard about how amazing our military is and what stand-up individuals they are. He's one of those people who is sacrificing his freedom for his beliefs in opposition to this war.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to go to jail.
Indeed. So I want to open up the phone lines here, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the rules. You can talk about any subject. You can call with any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. One of the other very powerful pieces that I've seen online in the last 24 hours, and you can find this still at alternet.org, is a clip of Senator Russ Feingold's comments before the Senate committee yesterday. He really is trying to advance my interests on using the power of the purse and really moving away from these non-binding resolutions, which I think are a good step, and I really have no criticism of the Democratic leaders who are attempting to get the president's attention without cutting off funds. And there are two issues at play there. One is that they don't want to be blamed by Karl Rove's message machine for the loss of this war or for hurting the troops. And the other piece of it is that I think that they are legitimately trying to give this president a chance to change course. I don't think it's going to work. And I think that ultimately the legislation that Matt referred to, that's been authored by Representatives Woolsey, Lee, and Maxine Waters, is going to be the only route. We're going to have to really get the message across to this president by cutting off funding and by using the power that Congress has failed to articulate and exercise when it was under Republican control.
Let me jump in here quickly, Peter.
Sure.
There's a new breaking news piece here about exactly what you're talking about. Feingold is going to chair hearings starting on the 30th. That's Tuesday, the 30th at 10 a.m. Eastern in the, let's see where we are here, the chair, let's see, I'm sorry, I just lost it. It's the hearings are going to be with, on Congress's power to end the war. So it's going to be about the constitutional powers of Congress to actually cut off the war. So it's going to be, I mean, this is where the action is right now. Feingold is one of those, one of the few people who seem to be taking the lead on this, and he's actually not just talking. This is actual investigation, so this is going to be very interesting.
Well, and Matt, one of the most powerful remarks that Russ Feingold made yesterday was to remind his Democratic colleagues that in 2002, when the authorization for military force in Iraq was passed through the Senate was in Democratic control. And, you know, that's one of the things that's often overlooked because, you know, at the time when the senator from Vermont, Jeffords, flipped out of the Republican Party into independent status, there was for a short term a Democratic leadership in the Senate.
And so I think it's an important reminder to those who are coming along very slowly in moving toward the ultimate end game here, which is that Congress is going to have to cut off funding. That is the only real way out. Let's go to a call. Alice is on the line, one of my favorite listeners on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Alice, you're on the air.
Oh, Peter, I'm sure you know that we talk about it here all the time. We ask why are so many people, so many members of Congress, why are they not talking about election reform?
Mm-hmm.
We need paper that can be counted and not electronic cheating.
Well, Alice, you know I agree with you. The machines are not salvageable. We've got to write that off and just unload that investment. We need to invest in honest elections in this country. We just saw this week two interesting stories, and you can find them at bradblog.com. Number one, that Diebold has keys that you use to open up these voting machine boxes.
Yeah.
And they have a picture of the keys on their website, and the keys are all the same. And it is so easy to blow up the picture on the website, and a locksmith can very easily make one of these keys, and some people have done it and used them to crack Diebold machines. It's ridiculous. The other story coming out of Cuyahoga County, Ohio, that's Cleveland, where two election workers have been convicted of crimes related to shenanigans in the partial recall that occurred after the presidential race in 2004. So we're on it, Alice. I thank you for the reminder. And when we talk with people, we'll bring that up.
You just keep up the good work, Peter.
I'll do it for you. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
all right, we're going to take a break and return. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll be taking calls for the rest of this hour. And Paul Feldman's going to join us here in the next segment to talk a little bit about privacy of your medical records. So bring it on. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Live from Washington, D.C. on Radio Row, I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. Morgan Hill, some problems popping up in the Coyote Valley. It's Tennant Avenue. This is just east of 101. An injury crash involving three cars reportedly blocking lanes. Closer to home here in Monterey on the 68, Highway 68 at Corral de Tierra, you're going to find a dog apparently running around in the roadway, so do slow down and be careful there. Northbound Highway 1, just past Buena Vista Drive, a stalled car blocking a lane. And that word is brought to you this hour by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies in store and thousands more online at unbeatable prices. Office Depot is taking care of business. Well, I'm Frank Sullivan, and that's a look at traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still Peter B. Collins, your humble host, live from Washington, D.C. We're in the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel at Health Action 2007, a conference put on by Families USA. And there's a little thundering in the background. That's the Capitol steps and the tittering laughter that they produce with their musical satire. They're performing in the ballroom right next door here. And there are a lot of great radio folks here. Tom Hartman is here, John Elliott from Air America, Mike Newcomb from Phoenix, and lots of other folks here. It's a great gathering, and there's a lot going on. We're going to take more of your calls in the free speech zone here in just a moment, so get on the line if you'd like to share a comment at 888-5-PETER-B. Joining us now is Paul Feldman from the Health Privacy Network. And Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Peter. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to talk with you. Today in the keynote, Senator Barack Obama touched on one of the critical issues in attempting to reduce the cost of health care in this country. About 25% of the money spent goes into paperwork and all kinds of non-medical services, mostly related to insurance claims. And, of course, many people are anxious to reduce that to the level that Medicare spends on that paperwork, which is a far, far lower figure in the single digits. And, of course, one of the barriers we have to overcome is protecting the privacy of patients and patient information if we go to an electronic system for processing claims and managing all the data. What are your key concerns about how we can protect privacy as we try to reduce those costs?
Well, the good news is that we are in a moment of enormous development in electronic health information exchange. There's contemplated to be something called the NHIN, the National Health Information Network, Nationwide Health Information Network, which is a network of networks, so that we will soon enough be able to share important and highly sensitive health information with the folks who we need to share it with, so that we can get better care, so that we can avoid getting tested for the same thing 8 times. Everybody's got a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can make it better with the use of electronic health information technology. However, we do have to pay enormous attention to privacy. Not a day goes by, I think, when most of us don't hear some story about some computer breach of something.
Oh, like the laptop at the Veterans Administration with 26 million individuals' records.
Yeah, that's the number one item that goes on all the lists when I'm talking to folks. Right, 26.5 million records, poof, gone. The good news, of course, for anyone who has not heard about this, is the laptop apparently has come back without anybody's information being compromised. But that's a lucky break.
Mm-hmm.
And luck is, I mean, this is far too important for luck.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Paul, is there any privacy left? Thinking of the NSA program and all the data mining of my phone records, I mean, I don't honestly believe that anything about me is private anymore. They know about how much Ben and Jerry's I consume just by the records they keep at Safeway.
Yeah, they know what flavor you buy and what day you buy it, probably.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Yes, whoever they is, pretty much can know everything. The issue is, what can they do with it? If they are using it in an aggregated form so they don't know who you are, so that they can provide you with better services, that's one thing. If they're using it to be able to track you down, up and down the street, that's entirely another, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's really about, the reality of today is it's not so much about the information, it's really about what gets done with it and how it's used. There are enormous risks, and there are enormous breaches, and there are enormous lapses of judgment, and that's why we are trying to make sure that we build in good, strong, accepted, clear privacy policy into all this work as it goes on. And there's a lot of people in Washington really busy about it. And I'm really glad to be part of the Families USA conference.
Well, it's an important component, no doubt about it. I'm very concerned about it. And I appreciate your contribution to the debate and to the crafting of new legislation. Paul, thanks for talking with us tonight.
Thank you.
Paul. Oh, and by the way, do you have a website you want to direct people to?
Of course I do. It's www.healthprivacy.org.
Healthprivacy.org. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to the phones and take your calls in the Free Speech Zone. So if you'd like to weigh in on any issue in the news, here's your chance. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Go ahead and email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. I want to thank Katrina Rill and Candy Stroud and the whole team here at Radio Row for helping us facilitate this broadcast live from Washington, D.C. We'll continue after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm going to sneak over and catch the Capitol steps for a second.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 33 minutes after the hour, we're in the free speed zone, taking your calls live from Washington, D.C. I've got a couple of lines available, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm going to say it one more time slowly because some people have trouble catching it. Maybe you're actually trying to dial real time. 1-888-573-8372. Leonard in Tempe, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. Actually, I'm in Phoenix. I'm from Glendale. I'm driving in Phoenix. But it sure is good to hear you there. I'm going to call you Peter because you don't like me calling you Sir or Mr. Thomas.
You got that military training, Leonard. I appreciate the effort you put into it. And you know what's neat is that we've been on in Phoenix since October, and we've properly trained the entire call-in audience. Nobody says thank you for taking my call anymore.
Yes, I've heard that in the past. But well, besides congratulating you, and I guess now are you? I didn't catch the first part of the show. I just got finished. My voice is kind of going out. Coach a kids team from an inner city school that I teach at, so my voice is going out. But I didn't know if you were. Are you in Washington, D.C., or back in California?
Nope, I'm in Washington this week. I'll be on vacation next week, so just so everybody's...
I didn't know, yes, okay, because I heard you yesterday saying you were at the Watergate, which sounded very interesting.
Yeah, but I got to spend the night at the Watergate. It was kind of cool for me because Watergate was a pivotal episode in my youth and in my radio career, so it's something that means a lot to me.
Yeah, I can, even at 9 or 10, I was already into, government and reading the papers, and I remember that, but... Well, one reason I'm calling you is I know that because everybody can't make it to Washington, D.C., on Saturday. I wish I could. I can't. They're going to have a protest down here in downtown Phoenix where I guess on Saturday you'll probably get other people letting you know. They're going to be marching from Senator Kyle's office, the first Bloody John,
mm-hmm.
to the second Bloody Senator, Bloody John McCain's office. So I'm looking forward to going to that. I know people think it doesn't make a difference, but believe me, sooner or later, every little brick in the wall, man, counts.
Well, Leonard, it does make a difference, and I want to encourage people to express themselves any way they can. I understand not everybody who listens to this program can get to Washington. I got no criticism of you for that. But there are ways that you can use the internet. You can make phone calls. You can show up at these local protests. I understand there's one in Monterey. Don't have the details on it, but I heard from one of our listeners there just the other day. So I encourage you to get in touch with your Peace and Justice networks and take to the streets, because number one, it's important to send that message. And number two, when I went to the streets in 2003, before the invasion of Iraq, it was, you know, in the context of that time, it was really comforting to see other people, people who brought their kids, you know, the full range of expression. It wasn't just the usual young activists, but the whole range of the American population was represented. And it helped me get through that period of time when I felt very alone, very much in the minority, and marginalized by the jingoist nationalists who charged into that war, you know, with all of their rhetorical guns blazing. So if it's only for your own sake, get out and express yourself this Saturday in whatever manner you can.
Exactly. I also want to say, I was saying to your producer yesterday, down here in Mesa, Arizona, right next to Phoenix, you had a libertarian city councilman in the heart of conservative, the Phoenix metro area, known for conservatism, the city of Mesa, had said that he would not stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance to protest the continued occupation of Iraq. And he's also very conservative. And it's true, where was he for all these years? But he's getting death threats now. The Mesa police are not giving him a choice. He is being guarded. But there's another example of somebody who is standing up. And this is going to, Peter, this is going to be like the Berlin Wall. I don't think we're going to just see it poof go off in one split second. It's going to be gone. These tyrants that we have, like George Bush and all the rest of them, one day we are going to wake up, though, and there's going to be gaping holes in their wall, and everybody will come out with their hammers, their sledges, their pickaxes, and break down the wall. So I just want to, you know, you guys out there call in, and you, Peter, give me inspiration, and I want to give strength to our followers now, because we're almost there at the very end of the battle, and you're most tired. It seems like the most hopeless part of it, but that's when we should take the strongest hope. And
all right,
anyways,
Leonard, I thank you for that, and I want to encourage you.
Yep.
I want to encourage you to be listening tomorrow, because Aaron Watata, Lieutenant Watata, who is in court-martial right now for his refusal to return to Iraq. He's a courageous American, somebody I deeply admire. And if you want to call in while he's here, he'll be on.
I really
in the...
would. And if I don't get a chance, can you tell him Leonard Clark salutes his courage? And I wish I'd had enough courage to do what he did, but I chose to do it another way in Iraq. But anyways, I salute his courage, and I hope I can call in.
All right,
thanks,
Leonard.
A lot,
thank
Peter.
You. Now to Linda in Watsonville. Thanks for your call, Linda. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi, Peter. I love your show.
Well, thanks. I love it when you say that.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, good. You got your nerve up.
Yeah, a little bit of it. But I really wanted to thank you for talking about the health care crisis, because I just don't hear. And it's so bad. There's so many people that are suffering because of it.
And do you have a personal health care crisis?
Yeah, I just thought I'd remind people that it isn't just the uninsured, it's the uninsurable, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a breast cancer survivor. I want a high five for 20-year survivor.
Good for you. I'm glad you're with us.
That if I'm not on a corporate plan or something, private insurance is either too expensive or it's denied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $1,000 a month.
Well, and you have what are called pre-existing conditions,
right,
which kind
although
of
although I'm a survivor, still,
but it locks
never
you,
goes away on your record.
It locks you into your current employer or somebody similar, right? You don't have the choice to go to work for yourself or to go to a startup, because they couldn't afford to offer you benefits.
But unfortunately, because my job, like so many others, went to India, I found myself having to freelance. And once that happens and you're off of it, then it's just very difficult to get back on the corporate track and also to get any kind of coverage at all.
You bet.
And you know, as far as privacy goes, what's to keep a company when I come into, say, interview, from adding up in their head that I'm going to be an expense on their insurance coverage and that you know, that just might be enough to tip the balance now.
Well, you know, you got a lot of things you have to consider. In some cases, if you're honest about your medical history, it would probably make it harder for you to get a job than if you confessed to having a criminal conviction in your past.
Right. And I'm very afraid that that the attitude in the country might even allow insurance companies to begin to do more pre-testing and screening before they'll allow people onto their plans, which is just horrendous.
And there's a darker side to it too, Linda, and that has to do with rationing of health care.
Right.
And I'm not one of the doomsayers who doesn't support what's called assisted suicide or, you know, people who make their own end-of-life decisions because of debilitating or terminal illnesses. But we have a situation where the for-profit medical providers, mostly HMOs and hospital companies, and the insurance companies have so much power over our lives and over life and death decisions that, you know, in the future we could see a bean counter making the decision that, well, you know, Linda's had a pretty good life, and she got 20 years after her breast cancer, and we really can't afford to give her the next round of medical treatment that she needs. So, you know, we're just not going to do it. And, you know, that kind of scarcity, that kind of management of health care allocation is a scary prospect if we continue on the path we're on with escalating costs and the amount of control that those two entities, the HMO hospitals and the insurance companies, have over those very personal decisions that should be yours and your doctor's.
Right. And, Peter, the only thing I disagree with what you just said is that I don't think it's in the future. I think that's happening now all the time. I think that the benefits are denied first and then maybe they'll be talked into it, or it is a matter of profit, and you and I both know there are ways to shave off expenses, and that's shaving off people and shaving off what they need.
Linda, I want to thank you for a great call. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you called, and please do it again.
Okay, thanks.
All right, now to Tom in Phoenix. Tom, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you very much. Basically a first-time listener here out in the Phoenix area.
Well, great.
And, yeah.
Can I make you vice president for marketing in your neighborhood?
Do my best. I'll do my best.
What's on your mind, Tom?
When I had called originally, I told your screener I wanted to talk about the Iraq War and how we got in there and all. But since I don't know much about you, I kind of felt like I'd want to get a feeling of where you stand on things and take it back to the beginning, and then maybe I'll call in some other time when we can discuss it. But I wanted to see how you feel about 9/11. Do you think there is a cover-up going on? Do you think there was really Al-Qaeda people who took the planes into the towers? Do you think there's really people or Al-Qaeda people who took a plane into the Pentagon? I obviously, physically, I see the planes going into the towers, of course, I see nothing that shows me that a plane went into the Pentagon. I see nothing on World Trade Center number 7.
Yep.
But yet, so many people think I'm a kook.
And I just wanted to see how
you feel about that.
I'm out there on the kook fringe with you, too, Tom. Here is my position, and I'll define it for you clearly. I do not believe we've been told the truth about 9/11. I believe that the physical evidence does not square with the official story that we've been told. I personally went and spent several days watching the work of the 9/11 Commission, and I am not persuaded that they did a very good job. I do think that it was a cover-up. I think that they failed to ask a lot of key questions. They shorted a lot of critical witnesses, some of whom we've talked to on this program. And so I'm not prepared to say that I know what happened. I'm not prepared to say that I know, who did what and whether there was collusion by U.S. operators or government officials. All I know is the story doesn't stand up, that we got skunked on 9/11. And, you know, the teams that lost the playoffs over the past weekend, they're going to get new coaches. Some of them will get new quarterbacks. There are going to be changes.
all right, because of the consequences of losing the big game. Well, we lost one of the biggest games in our nation's history, and it was 99-0. NORAD was a failure. The FAA couldn't communicate. Whatever was going on in the Pentagon, Rumsfeld should have known what was going on. And I saw him give public testimony before the 9/11 Commission where he dodged the question about whether he had scrambled jets to protect the Pentagon, which was part of a long-standing defense protocol that had been arranged for such a circumstance. So to just answer your question real succinctly, there are people who think I'm crazy. Now, I think there are people crazier than me who have, you know, conspiracy theories and things that I don't subscribe to related to 9/11. But my position is that they are operating under the same constraints as you and I, that we don't have the real information. We are rightfully skeptical about the lies we've been fed on many fronts. And to just swallow the official story of 9/11, frankly, is naive on the part of those who embrace it.
You and I are on the same exact page. It's funny you even brought up the football analogy, because that's the analogy I bring up all the time. People will say to me, well, you know, people who are, I was brought up Republican, and I'm still a Republican.
My condolences.
I don't know if I'm a Republican in line with the president and his people Republican, but I don't feel like I've changed. I think, like, the Republican Party has changed.
Yeah.
But people will say to me, you're against America then. How could you say that? And I use the exact same analogy. You know, when a football team loses, you change the coach. And
yeah,
that's how I feel about America. I still love America, and I'm still loyal to America, just like I am to my sports teams. But it's time for a new coach.
Well, Tom, you found a new radio show. I'm glad you called. I want you to call again, and we'll talk further. I got to run to a break and take some more phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you take care. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join us. I just got word that in Salinas there will be a peace march gathering 11 to noon at the Star Market in Salinas. That's this Saturday. Hope you can join that if you're on the Central Coast listening at KRXA 540. More coming up in just a moment. I'm live from Washington, D.C., and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing.
And
And good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. Morgan Hills still have that problem. Tennant Avenue east of Highway 101. It's an injury crash. Three vehicles involved in this reportedly blocking lanes. The CHP is on scene. Boulder Creek, Highway 236 west of Highway 9. An accident reported there. Two vehicles involved. Espinosa Road just east of 183. An accident in Salinas. A solo car crash apparently went off the roadway and landed on its side. The CHP is on scene. And that word brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day with the dollar menu at McDonald's, now open at 5 a.m. For breakfast, get the sausage McGriddles, and for lunch or dinner, get a double cheeseburger. Prices and participation may vary. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Washington, D.C., and we'll be here again tomorrow as we continue our coverage of this special Health Action 2007 conference convened by Families USA. And also on tomorrow's program, we'll give you a preview of the big protest. I hope it's huge. I hope the paper today, the Washington Post, said that there are estimates of over 100,000. I'd like to see it reach 500,000. I do not have those expectations, but that's my hope. And I hope that you'll show up in Salinas. I know Dave and the folks in Eureka are right on it. So get in touch with your friendly activists and do what you can to send a powerful message to Washington this Saturday. Now let's go to the Windy City. Kay's on the line from Chicago. Hello, Kay. Kay, did you make it?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Regarding the the gathering in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be the media. People need to bring cameras, video cameras, still cameras. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to every word.
I was in Washington, D.C., September 24th, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
There were upwards of 500,000, 600,000 people there, and it wasn't reported in the media.
Yeah.
I doubt there'll be as many this time. I wish I could make it. I'm looking for something local. I haven't found it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the media doesn't put out the numbers, people should do whatever they can to put up photos on websites, independent papers, whatever it takes.
I agree with you, Kate.
The problem is the media in this country.
Well, the other thing that's going on is that the organizers of this event are encouraging people who come to Washington to stick around and take the day off on Sunday. And then there's going to be a huge lobbying effort on Capitol Hill on Monday. And I think that those two components really are going to be helpful. We have Republicans who are defecting from the White House on the war in Iraq. And we need to encourage them, give them political cover, and show them that a wide range of Americans are dissatisfied, disaffected, and downright angry about this war. And that's what it's going to take to push this rock up a hill. And, this is not the final step, but it's a critical step. And I hope that you and others will do everything you can. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the PBC show.
Peter, you know, quite a few Democrats are still afraid of the accusation that if they become openly against this war and want to cut funding, especially, that they're being unpatriotic. I would like to see enough fervor finally against this war that we begin to realize that being pro-war is like being for terminal cancer. And I was going over in my mind how many periods in history when war was really the beginning of the end for a prime civilization. I heard an interesting discussion on NPR about 2 weeks ago about the Peloponnesian War and how we equate the age of Pericles with the grandeur of the highest point of Greece, and yet in that discussion, Pericles was the one urging on this disastrous war. And there's so many other instances. Everybody knows about, or most everybody, about how the First World War was the undoing of the British Empire. That there was so much bleeding, both figurative and literal, in that war, that Britain never came out of that. And there's another instance that most people don't know about, and that was, we all know a little about Genghis Khan. Well, his follower, Kublai Khan, got the Mongol Empire into two disastrous flings that in many ways rivaled the two messes, Afghanistan and Iraq, that Bush has gotten us into. He decided to launch an invasion of Indonesia.
John, let me just stop you there because I'm tight for time. You make a very good point, and I will just second it by saying that in their desire to create and extend the American empire, I believe that Bush and Cheney are the architects of its decline, if not its demise. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Virginia and Salinas, you're next. Welcome.
Thanks, Bill. Peter.
Yeah, I'll be Peter.
I wanted to add to Steve's announcement a little more specifically. On Saturday, we will be at the four corners of Blanco Road and South Main.
Sure, I know that area.
Not necessarily Star Market.
Okay, at the four corners.
Right. And then, of course, I certainly appreciate all that's been said, as well as what you're doing on health care. And I hope you can remind people that Senator Kuhl has reintroduced her bill for now being named the Universal Health Care Bill for Californians. So maybe we can persuade that governor to sign it next time.
All right. Thank you, Virginia. Thanks. We got time for one more. It's Deborah in Phoenix. Welcome, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. You know, I read the 1% Doctrine by, was it Ron Susskind?
Yes, Susskind.
Came out? Yeah. And I've been thinking about that again lately. First of all, do you think that Cheney came up with that doctrine and sold it just specifically to get us in Iraq, or do you believe? And do you believe, if so, does the Bush administration still believe that doctrine? Is this driving any of our foreign policy right now?
I'm afraid it is, and I can't parse it all for you because there's so much that is secret and duplicitous. But I believe that the vice president is undeterred. If you caught any of the excerpts from his interchange with Wolf Blitzer yesterday, notwithstanding the part about his daughter, and I don't think the question was out of line, Cheney said, hey, you know, it's hogwash that we haven't been successful in Iraq. We are undeterred. And he basically said that a resolution from the Senate and the House will simply, you know, hurt the troops. And that's all hogwash in my book. He's in deep denial. He is captive to an ideology that has not been shared with every American. And it's frankly un-American and unconstitutional what they've done and what they continue to do. Finally, it does appear.
1% chance?
Finally, it does appear that the Congress is finding its muscle. We've got to get them to flex it and use it. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a nice
Thanks for all your calls. We'll be back at you again live from Washington tomorrow.
To you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
What would Henry Ford say?
In its 103-year history, America's oldest automaker has never had a worse year.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports the automaker is awash in red ink.
Ford lost $12.7 billion in 2006 after sales plummeted 8%. But the biggest cost was laying off nearly half of its hourly workforce.
I haven't really thought about that last stroll out the door. That's going to be probably very difficult.
Steve Brawl, whose father and grandfather also worked for Ford, today accepted the company's buyout offer.
There was a lot of anxiety as to what's life going to be like as we move to a new state, a new job, basically a new beginning.
38,000 hourly workers have agreed to the buyout under Ford's restructuring plan. Another 14,000 white-collar workers are also expected to leave.
Ford says it expects to post losses for the next 2 years, but investors seem to think the worst is over. Ford shares rose 2 cents today, closing at 8.22. High interest rates, penalties, fees, and terms that seem calculated to trip you up. Credit card practices took a beating on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports on a Senate Banking Committee hearing.
Chairman Chris Dodd says many Americans are struggling with their plastic.
The average household has more than $9,300 of credit card debt.
John Finneran of Capital One defended the industry.
Interest rates have come down significantly for the majority of consumers, and most pay no annual fees.
But Travis Plunkett of the Consumer Federation of America says credit card companies take advantage of the most vulnerable.
Unjustifiable fees, the highly questionable interest rates, and the abusive lending practices.
And need to be better regulated. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
43 years after two black teenagers were killed in Mississippi, a reputed Ku Klux Klansman was arraigned today. 71-year-old James Steele pleaded not guilty. In Washington, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said the case serves as a warning to others who committed racial crimes.
We will pursue you as long as it takes, and as long as the law allows. Whenever it comes, justice is always welcomed.
Originally, the FBI turned the case over to local authorities. Prompted by one victim's brother, the Justice Department decided to take a fresh look 7 years ago. Lake effect snow caused a whiteout on Interstate 90 in Erie.